The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Professional Fighters League regular season rolls on tomorrow with the welterweights and light heavyweights at 9 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Coverage of the undercard begins at 5:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, just go to ESPN.com or download the app. And we welcome you back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. And we got a packed show for you today, so let's get right to it. And we'll get you started with the breaking news that came in just last hour. Antonio Brown is set to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this means the Buccaneers are bringing back all 22 starters from the Super Bowl. Let's bring in our guys, Adam Schefter, Marcus Spears jumping into the conversation, and RC back with us as well with this big news. Adam, what more can you tell us about AB coming back to Tampa?
Well, Ryan, as much of a great player as Antonio Brown is, and as much as Tampa Bay wanted him back, there wasn't a market for him. There were not teams out there bidding for his services, and so there was a limited market. Tampa, the team itself, still has not heard that Antonio Brown has taken the deal, but the agent says the deal is done, so the agent says the deal is done. And so Antonio Brown goes back to Tampa, which really was only his only viable landing spot all along. It wasn't like he had another suitor coming after him. He's a tremendous player. He fits in well with there. Tom Brady wanted him back. He wanted to be with Tom Brady. He never was going anywhere else. He was always going to be in Tampa. And now, officially, the agent says that he will be staying in Tampa.
Okay, so the deal around $6.5 million in salary, $2 million in signing bonus. But I think it's so interesting, Adam, that you mentioned that there wasn't a real market for him. So, Swagoo, got to bring you in on this one. What does that say about Antonio Brown and what Tampa believes in him if there's not a market, but they still gave him a pretty reasonable deal?
It tells me Tampa understands who their quarterback is and how he can get everyone involved in the offense and also keep everyone happy, even if their numbers aren't where those guys think they should be. I think the important thing to remember here, too, with Antonio Brown is the fact that how he came on as this season continued to go along. And you see the Tom Brady influence all over Tampa. Yes, Jason Light deserves a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of credit for being able to get all of these guys signed. But Tom Brady has a specific idea of how he wants to operate from an offensive standpoint, and that involves Antonio Brown. So that's what they got done. And as much as Tampa is going to try to say, look, we are running this thing and we're doing what we're doing, Tom Brady's imprint and influence has been all over this offseason. And kudos to Tampa and their upper management for understanding that this window is short, but it's something that they can maximize and take advantage of. And AB is happy as anyone because he's with Tom and along with all of those other players.
Go ahead, RC.
We are missing the point. Antonio Brown's market is not small because he can't play. That's not it.
Exactly.
Antonio Brown's market is not little, and people aren't crashing his door because he's a bad football player. He's had some other things happen, so Antonio Brown can still go. And you heard Marcus speak about the way that he came along as the season went on. He didn't get to play 2 years ago, and now he comes in mid-year. By the time the playoffs hit, Antonio Brown was rolling. Antonio Brown was a true piece of this offense, and I think that only elevates in year two. This was an important signing, and they do have all 22 players back. But you watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Marcus mentioned what Tom Brady likes to do. Tom Brady likes the best matchup. So when Tom Brady has an opportunity to have a mismatch or to have a number one caliber player on a number two or a number three corner or a safety, that's the matchup he is going to take. And Antonio Brown is going to benefit from that. He spoke about his admiration for who Tom Brady has been in his life as a mentor and as a quarterback. And I think this is a perfect signing for both Antonio Brown and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So, Shefty, both RC and Swagoo are talking about Tom Brady and his influence on all this. What does this say? What does this signing say about Tom Brady and his influence and his power in Tampa Bay?
Listening to what Tom Brady wants. Tom Brady wanted Antonio Brown. Were it not for Tom Brady, Antonio Brown would not be there. But Tom Brady wanted a number of these players. Look, Tom Brady has created envy around the league. I think Russell Wilson would love in Seattle to have the voice that Tom Brady does. Aaron Rodgers would love in Green Bay to have the voice that Tom Brady does. Tom Brady's created Tom envy across the league amongst the top quarterbacks. That's what's gone on here this offseason. Antonio Brown.
It's Tim V, Shefty.
Well, that's what's gone on here. And essentially, Antonio Brown was somebody that Tom Brady wanted. Everybody's got Tom envy. Everybody's got Tom envy. Hey, I want to be as handsome and as rich as Tom Brady.
But to that point, fellas, to that point, you got to be made the right way to be able to manage this. How many times, like, think about when the Brooklyn Nets signed everybody and the whole conversation was, how in the hell are these guys going to play together? Tom Brady figures out how to get everybody involved without these guys' egos infiltrating into the locker room. He's been doing it for years. Tampa is the next stop on his tour destination. And for that, they're going to be as good as they were last year, even better, I believe.
All right, Tom Envy. I think I just heard Tom Brady call his trademark lawyer with that one. Adam, you better watch out. All right, now, speaking of star quarterbacks, hey, let's talk more about quarterbacks, and we're just one day away from the NFL draft. The 49ers, third pick, still in question. Talk of taking a quarterback, but when asked this week about the team's decision, Kyle Shanahan said, quote, I feel good about five guys at three. We started with one candidate in mind, but all have gotten better since. All right, Adam Schefter joining us live from Cleveland with more. Adam, what are you hearing about San Francisco and that number three pick?
Well, Ryan, that's the great part. Kyle Shanahan is being transparent there when he tells you that. When the 49ers traded up to number three, they did it with the idea that they were entirely comfortable taking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. And that was the guy that they initially traded up for. But they traded up also with the idea that they're going to do a deep dive on Trey Lance and Justin Fields, and they're going to get as much information and go to their pro days and watch them and study them and talk to everybody about them so that they can make the best overall decision. And so I can tell you that even though Mac Jones was the leader in the clubhouse when they made the trade over the weekend, they were going back and forth on this. There is no doubt in my mind about that. And so now in the end, I believe we're Wednesday, we are 36 hours out of the draft or whatever it may be, they have come to a decision at this point in time. But it was not without vacillating over the weekend into Monday about which quarterback to take. And I can tell you that it's really a decision on philosophies and approaches and offensive attacks that they want to deploy for the next decade, because Mac Jones would make the 49ers look a certain way on offense, and Trey Lance would make the 49ers look an entirely different way on offense. And Trey Lance narrowed the gap between he and Mac Jones considerably over the course of their research, to the point where, like I said, over the weekend, the 49ers did not know who they were going to take.
Okay, so he narrowed the gap, and it makes sense that they would have to think this through. But, Marcus, I want to ask you what we asked many of the guys in the last hour. What should San Francisco do with that number three pick?
I knew it was coming. And I know people sick of me.
But you're going back and forth, right?
Is Justin Fields. Justin Fields is in the draft. Everybody, he's available. He's probably going to be available at number three. I get it. I understand it. Shefty and Herbie say this before. That's why I'm laughing. But what are we doing, man? We are talking about film. We're talking about ability. We're talking about a guy that has shown the ability to play at a very high level, and he is not in the conversation. And as RC knows, and as Shefty knows, and Ryan, I'm going to introduce you to this. Swaggoo will not talk about the San Francisco 49ers with the third pick without putting Justin Fields in the conversation. I'm not doing it. I know that's not what everybody want to hear, but I refuse to think that he is not in this ideology of determining who will be the pick at number three. Now, with that being said, if you draft Mac Jones, you'll be fine. Everybody has said that. You'll be fine. That'll be something that we're used to. We've seen Kyle Shanahan have success outside of winning the Super Bowl. He's always been the bridesmaid. If they draft Trey Lance, young, low amount of reps, but high upside, ability athletically to extend things and get himself out of trouble, which most young quarterbacks will have to do. And then there's the guy by the name of Justin Fields, who has done both of the things that these guys have done on film and has the most tape to show you that he can play the position at a very high level. I'm done. Y'all talk about this. Don't ask me about the 49ers without Justin Fields being in the conversation.
Okay, we'll be coming back to ask Swaggoo about the 49ers in the next hour and not talk Justin Fields. RC. Look, I know you also like Justin Fields, but can I just put this out there? Are we underrating Mac Jones in some ways? Could this guy be a superstar in the way that you feel about Justin Fields or maybe even Trey Lance?
I don't think so. Not in that way. I believe he could be a very fine quarterback. I believe that he could be a good quarterback. And Adam is right. Kyle Shanahan has been extremely transparent as of late. Kyle Shanahan let us know that he can't predict if people are going to die. I think that's a revelation. Just like he can't predict if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the team. Apparently he also didn't know exactly why he moved up to three. Listen, when you look at Mac Jones' tape, Mac Jones' tape is good. I also saw that Mac Jones' first option many of the times last year was Devontae Smith. Do you know who was wide butt booty naked open a lot of the times? Devontae Smith. And he threw him the ball. And he caught the ball. And he scored touchdowns. A lot of times, you know what? You looked out to the flat and Najee Harris was out in the flat. There was a guy coming to tackle him. And you know what happened? Najee Harris jumped over his head and scored touchdowns. Mac Jones is not going to get all that. And with the way the San Francisco 49ers run offense, that's why Justin Fields is the fit. Because of the jet sweeps, because of the motions, because of the boots, because of the run pass options people get, that's why we think Justin Fields. Now, can you have a Matt Ryan type year with Mac Jones? Absolutely. Can you do what Jimmy Garoppolo does with Mac Jones? Absolutely. Does he have the highest ceiling? Absolutely not. But if we are just going for fine, let's go for fine.
Okay, Shefty, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, all I can tell you is the 49ers have lived this decision since the season ended. And they've done as much work on these quarterbacks as they possibly can. And just like Ryan doesn't like Mac Jones and Marcus likes Justin Fields, they have their own opinions. Everybody does. That's what makes this time of the year so great, is that there are so many different opinions.
You know, I don't care. I do not care if commercial is coming. Adam Schefter, you know good and well you cannot say that. Because if you say that, people going to think that's the report, Adam. So now it's going to be all over the Twitter, right? All over the everywhere that Ryan Clark does not like Mac Jones. I ain't saying that. Mac Jones is fine. Mac Jones can be good. I am dispelling the rumor that Shefty is putting out. I like Mac Jones. Mac Jones
put it
is
on
like
the
McDonald's.
Bottom line right now,
always
Ryan
like
Clark
McDonald's.
Says Mac Jones is fine.
Don't do that.
He keeps doing it over and over again. You better take out your phone, RC. Get ready to tweet. All right, guys. Hey, let's talk. Let's keep it on the quarterback, shall we? Because if Dak is going to win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys, they absolutely should not help him at the top of the draft. What does that mean? We'll explain. Meanwhile, in Philly, is the best move for Jalen Hurts to team him up with a very familiar face? Think about that and keep it right here at Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
With you on Get Up, and we're talking Cowboys. They could use the draft to improve their defense, which was clearly one of the worst in the NFL last season. Dallas allowed 473 points, fifth most in the NFL and the most in franchise history. And much of those struggles came through the air. The Cowboys allowed a franchise worst 34 passing touchdowns last season, and 27 of those went to wide receivers, the most in the NFL. Now, as a result, Dallas has been linked to cornerbacks Patrick Surtain in the second, and J.C. Horn as well, but there's also been a lot of talk about the Cowboys trading up for tight end Kyle Pitts. Jerry Jones addressed those rumors yesterday. Listen to this.
It's a distortion for this draft and where we are there. It implies something that's just not the case. We're not going to go in there and spend an inordinate value to maneuver up there so that we can get Pitt. Don't be stupid over your needs. What's exciting about the 10th pick is you could very easily get an opportunity to do something unconventional here.
Okay, we thought he was in love with Pitts. Maybe not. I don't know. But let's bring in our guys again. Swagoo, Booger McFarland joining us, Dan Graziano. All right, Booger, let me start with you. What should the Cowboys do at number 10?
Well, based on how bad their defense was, they better draft somebody that can help that side of the football. I understand that Jerry's infatuated by building this super offense, specifically with Kyle Pitts, and I get it. He is one of one. He is a unicorn. We've heard all the adjectives to describe him. We know he is a great player. But when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, and make no mistake about it, the Cowboys have to win now. When you sign Dak Prescott to a contract that's paying him about $40 million this year, not next year or the year after, they're paying him that right now, they got a four-year window and they have to win. And their defense was terrible. They have to have pass rushers and guys that can cover. They may even need a linebacker. Now, Deshaun Lee and Leighton Vander Esch, his net, we still don't know what's going on with that. So there are issues everywhere with the Cowboys' defense. There isn't a defensive lineman worthy of picking at number 10. So you take the guy from a value standpoint that you can get, whether that's J.C. Horn, whether that's Patrick Surtain, whichever cornerback you have rated higher, you take them at 10 and you start to rebuild that defense.
Okay. Now, Dan Graziano, let me ask you, you know, one of the things we love about the NFL draft, it is that it's one of the most unpredictable events in sports. Things happen that we never thought would. So let's say you're in a scenario that Kyle Pitts doesn't go 4 or 5 and starts dropping. Is there a point you think where the Cowboys do make that kind of move for him?
I think it would have to be a small move. I mean, you could see them going up a spot or two, but I just don't get the sense. I mean, listen to what Jerry's talking about. Like, he's being realistic. I mean, he knows they need defense. He knows that their offensive players are very good. Wait, look at last year, right? They went in thinking defense last year, picking 17. And they get to pick 17, and CeeDee Lamb is still there. Now, they have CeeDee Lamb ranked as one of the top 5 players in the entire draft, and they're sitting there at 17. They said, we have to take him. And that's actually the right way to draft, right? The draft's about value. It's not about positional need. It's about value. They do need to rebuild that defense, short term and long. I believe the most likely thing for the Cowboys is that they sit at 10 and take a cornerback, probably J.C. Horn. Think about this, Ryan. It's possible the Cowboys could be the first team at 10 to pick a defensive player in this entire draft. That's not out of the question. So you need defense, and you have the entire menu of defensive players. When he talked about doing something unconventional, I think that's a move the other direction. If they're at 10 and there's still a quarterback on the board that somebody likes, Patriots at 15, Washington 19, whoever, they can move back and to a position, Booger, where maybe pass rusher does have some value in this draft and add picks along the way. So I think the Cowboys are being sensible about this.
I saw Booger shaking his head at defense going so late. Maybe Marcus Spears doesn't like that either. Marcus, right? What do you think they should do with Tim?
Well, I want to stop talking about Kyle Pitts, period. because I don't want them to be there, number one, for Jerry to even be enticed. And number two, they need to draft a cornerback. That's what the value is at 10 if you stay there between Surtain and J.C. Horn. I don't like y'all talking about this because this is not necessary at all. Listen, Blake Jarwin tore his ACL last year. He was fine in the passing game with Amari and obviously CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. This offense is fine. If anything offensively, they need to be focused on this offensive line who Tyron Smith is getting up in age, and you can add some depth at that position because we saw how much that hampered them as well. But you can do that later. If you stand pat at 10 outside of Graz's scenario where a team trades up and try to get a quarterback, you take the cornerback and you start to rebuild his defense and you start to figure out how to put a complete football team together. Dallas been drafting offense for a while, y'all. We having a conversation like this is not the time to maybe go and pay attention to the other side of the football, which if they don't do, y'all going to see me have a damn conniption on TV the next day. So draft the cornerback at number 10. Start to build this defense out. I think they'll be marketably better just because of a scheme change with Dan Quinn. Stop thinking about Kyle Pitts, please. I'm going to interfere if Kyle Pitts is at 10. I'm going to do something drastic so they still take a defensive player.
Wait, I want to see them now trade up for Kyle Pitts so I can see what you're going to do.
Interfere?
No,
yes.
Man.
He's going to have a conniption.
Don't do that.
Okay, I'm just saying. Jerry, think about it. All right, guys, thanks. And let's go to baseball, shall we, before Swagoo gets a conniption fit? Let's run the bases, shall we? Everything went right for the Yankees last night. Corey Kluber got his first win in 2 years. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton both homered to beat the Orioles 5-1. Yankees are now tied with Baltimore for last in the AL East. That's not good. Now, an impressive power display from Blue Jay star Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Last night, Vlad Jr. hit 3 home runs, including a grand slam and a solo shot off of Nationals ace Max Scherzer. His third home run came off reliever Kyle Finnegan. Guerrero finished with 7 RBIs in a 9-5 win. And over to Atlanta, where the Cubs took on the Braves, and Ronald Acuna Jr. crushed a 481-foot homer. Look at it right there. It's a thing of beauty. Second longest home run in the majors. Braves would go on to win 5-0. Now, Aaron Rodgers responded to the Packers drafting his replacement with an MVP season. So is Green Bay's GM trying to rewrite history now?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up, and it's time to run the hurry up on the NFL draft. Let's bring in Graz. And Graz, let's start with the Ravens draft plans. I think we lost Graz there, but we'll come back to him on that. He wanted to talk about the Ravens. Also, we're going to talk about the Steelers, but let me see if I can bring in our guys. Let's bring in Booger McFarland, Ryan Clark. Let's talk to you guys for a second as we get to this, because, you know, you talk about the Ravens, you talk about the Steelers. They've got a lot of things they're looking at, but can I get to the Eagles if we can, producers? Because this becomes an interesting discussion. Jalen Waddle has become a topic of discussion among the Eagles, and Dan Graziano talked about this a little bit in a report he put out on ESPN.com along with Jeremy Fowler. The idea that they could be interested, but guys, it might require them to trade up to get him. Now, keep in mind, they just traded back. Now, I'm a Philadelphia guy, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to have people from Philly pulling their hair out. What are the Eagles doing, Ryan Clark, if they end up trading back up to get a guy like Jalen Waddle?
Nope, that's not it.
Wait.
Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it.
You won that one.
You know what? You know, if you look at the Eagles and everything they've done this offseason, none of it truly makes sense. You know, you think they go out and get Nick Sirianni because he could have some type of connection with Carson Wentz, and then they trade Carson Wentz to the team they picked their head coach from, and now you're saying, okay, it must be Jalen Hurts' team, at least for 2021, and then you hear in press conferences that there's an open quarterback battle, wait, between Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco. And so everything that they say, these things aren't making sense. And it often looks like the Philadelphia Eagles don't have a plan for this season. And so it's almost seeming to me like, you know what you say? You say you go at this year, you stand pat where you are in the draft, and you draft the best player available. And then you look to see and evaluate if you have the quarterback of the future on your roster. And if you don't, as you've stockpiled picks, you go and build your team from the 2022 draft and beyond. The Philadelphia Eagles are in a very difficult place this year, and it started last year with the drafting of Jalen Reagor. If you get an opportunity, go look back at the videos of Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings when Jalen Reagor was drafted. At that specific time, that's when they signed the card and said, you know what, give us Justin Jefferson, because they knew the Eagles had made a mistake. It seemed like the Eagles have just made mistake after mistake since then.
And you know what? We got Dan Graziano back, had some technical difficulties there. Dan, talk to us about the issue with Jalen Waddle, what the Eagles are thinking and what you're hearing about the potential there.
So the first thing to understand, Ryan, is after the Eagles trade back from 6 to 12, you now have a situation where the Cowboys are 10, the Giants are 11, the Eagles are 12. Those are three NFC East teams and rivals. They're not going to be trading with each other. If you're the Eagles and you are worried a player you like is going to be drafted by the Cowboys or the Giants, you got to move up, right? If that's J.C. Horn, the cornerback, if it's Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver. We've been told that there are teams ahead of the Eagles that believe the Eagles are trying to move up to draft Jalen Waddle and make sure that they get him before, say, the New York Giants do. To Ryan's point, stand pat in the draft. No, don't stand pat in the draft. Standing pat in the draft is the wrong way to go. You have to be nimble. You have to be able to move down, move up, sometimes do one and then the other. The Eagles got a first-round pick in 2022 as a result of their trade with the Dolphins to go down from 6 to 12. So if you can go back up without giving back that first-round pick, then you've still come out ahead, and maybe you get the player that you want. So, yeah, Howie Roseman is definitely one of the more nimble and active GMs when it comes to trades involving players as well as draft picks. So, yeah, I would expect the Eagles to do something as opposed to just sit tight and take whoever's left to them once their division rivals pick.
Okay, and that's the key. They can't give up that first rounder they got for 2022. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, Dan, next year's picks are being highly valued by teams this year. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, Booger, what happens if they get Jalen Waddle? What do you think he brings to the Eagles offense?
Well, he brings a lot of explosiveness. I think he may be one of the closest things to Tyreek Hill that we see in this draft, a guy that can go from 1 to 100 in two steps. And I think it's important to understand where this team is. You know, of course, they're saying a lot of different things, and nobody can follow what the Eagles do. But I just remember what the owner said. Jeffrey Lurie, he's the guy that controls the money and writes the checks. He said, we're going to support Jalen Hurts this year. So if you watch what they did after that, they moved down. They're now at the spot number 12. And I think at 12, they can kind of guarantee, maybe not guarantee, but they can put themselves in a position where either Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle will be there at 12. And I think they'll be happy with either one, which gives them that wide receiver that can support Jalen Hurts. And I think that's the best case scenario. And if that's the case, if they move down and they're at 12 and they get one of the receivers, then we all have to come on here and say, you know what, Howie Roseman, you may have screwed it up a lot, but you got this one right because you moved down and you got a receiver and you did exactly what your boss said, which is support the quarterback in Jalen Hurts.
Okay, RC, you say that's why you don't move up?
Yeah, I think what Booger said is the point I'm making. This is a draft with very good pass catchers. I think Jamar Chase being the best of them. But when you look at the two Alabama guys, though very different, Why do you go and move up to make the same mistake you made last year? Last year, you were thinking about the speed guy. You were thinking about the explosive guy. And I do 100% agree with Booger that next year in the league is going to be Tyreek Hill and then Jalen Waddle when we speak about explosion and acceleration. But Devontae Smith just won the Heisman. Devontae Smith just showed us that he is a true professional at the wide receiver position. You get either two of those guys at number 12, you have won, you have made your offense better, you have made the right pick, and I think that's what the Eagles need to do.
If all those guys last to 12. If not, if. Right, Dan? We'll see what happens. All right, guys.
One of them will be there. One of them will be there.
I don't know that. There's the ground, Monty.
What does Swagger say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He's lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie.
I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
Take this. It's time for Swagoo Says. We're going to listen to some sound around the league. And then Big Swagoo Marcus Spears is going to interpret it for us. All right. This is where I have to start, Marcus. Kyle Shanahan asked this week if he expects Jimmy Garoppolo to still be on the 49ers roster on Sunday. Take a listen to this.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
Please tell me what he's saying there, Swagoo.
Ryan, it's simple. Kyle Shanahan is saying, I hope Jimmy Garoppolo is alive by Sunday so we can get trade value out of him. Because he just told you he's trying to draft a starting quarterback in a previous presser. So everybody, I hope everybody's healthy and well, and we have the ability to trade Jimmy Garoppolo because somebody's going to try to get him either during this draft or after this draft. They know that the San Francisco 49ers are going for a quarterback, so he's just hoping Jimmy G is alive so he can have that trade value.
If we're all alive, that's the key. If. All right, next, we got Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, who was asked this week about Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay. Take a listen to this.
I'm not going to get into contract specifics, but Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years.
Okay, that's what Gutekunst says. Swagoo, what do you say?
Listen, I'm just talking because I was scheduled to talk right now, but I'm just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to tell us what the hell he want us to do, period. Like, Green Bay has no leverage with Aaron Rodgers. So talking about him being the quarterback of the future or having all of these things that you have in your quote-unquote plan or foreseeable future does not matter. When 12 speaks about the situation in Green Bay, that's when I'll care about it. But Gutekunst is just doing his job, going through the day-to-day. But I don't want to know nothing until Aaron Rodgers tells us what he wants Green Bay to do.
Okay, so finally we got the Steelers GM Kevin Colbert. He was asked about Pittsburgh's draft plans and if they involve a quarterback. Take a listen to this.
I'm very doubtful that we'll trade up. We really value those 8 picks that we have.
At what point would you consider drafting a quarterback?
Again, wide open to all of it. If you look at our current depth, obviously we have 4 NFL veteran quarterbacks on our roster, which I feel great about. We'll always be open to adding what we believe is the most critical position.
And their starter is 39 years young. That's what Colbert says. What does Swagoo say?
I'm sorry I got to get on this podium and lie to y'all. All these quarterbacks we have, you don't feel great about, but they are vets, so I guess he got a point. They're older than the guys that'll be coming in the league now or the guys that were drafted last year. That's all that makes those guys vets. But you know damn well he don't feel comfortable about that quarterback room, especially after what we saw this offense turn into towards the end of the season. So, period. I'm sorry I got a lot of y'all. I got to make these guys feel good. I do not feel good about our quarterback room. That's all he should have said.
I can't tell you. I cannot wait for the day when you become a GM in the NFL. That will be the greatest day of my life, other than my kids and getting married. Seriously. All right, Swagoo, thank you so much. Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick, unquestioned coaching legends. But here why is tomorrow night the hugely important night for both of these guys.
Okay.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up, and with the NFL Draft one day away, we are asking RC to give us the 5 teams under the most pressure heading into tomorrow. So, RC, take it away.
I think at number 5, you go with the Philadelphia Eagles. We just talked about this team, right? They are a mess. Right now, Kevin Nagandi is going crazy at his house. I'm sure during the draft, him and Ryan Smith will have a hate fest going on through a text message chain about how bad the Eagles have been in the draft lately. Listen, you've traded back to 12. You stockpiled some picks in 2022. Don't do nothing stupid. Don't listen to Dan Graziano. Don't move up. Don't think to yourself, you know what? This is what we have to do to get Jalen Smith. I mean, to get Jalen Waddle, stay where you are and do that. Jacksonville Jaguars are my number 4 team. Why? Because you freaking stink and you have stunk, but you trade away Jalen Ramsey. You trade away Leonard Fournette, who goes and helps the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win a Super Bowl. Now, you have the number 1 pick. We all know that's going to be Trevor Lawrence. What are you going to do after that? When your team is this bad, when you're drafting at number 1, you need to do a ton of things to get better. You have Urban Meyer. Is Urban Meyer going to stay through bad times? No. So you better draft well now. At number 3, we're going with the New England Patriots. And I know you guys are going to say, but it's Bill Belichick. They've been so great for 2 decades. He always does the right thing. Not in the draft. He ain't been drafting no Pro Bowlers. I don't want to see him sitting at the kitchen table with that dog. He better get somebody that's smarter than that. But from what I heard, Matt Patricia is going to be a big part of the draft process. How in the hell do you expect Matt Patricia to help? And so what you do, if your quarterback falls to you, if he's leaking out, you move up and you get him. Yodo, you only draft once. And the New York Jets, you're at number 2. I know we're thinking to ourselves, they're already going to get Zach Wilson. They absolutely are. You have traded away Leonard Williams. He got a new deal with the Jets. You traded away Jamal Adams. He balled out with Seattle. Now you can get Zach Wilson. Second, let's build your team. You went out, you got Corey Davis. Now you say, you know what? We got some help for the new guy. Marcus May signs back. Draft a team that can go out and win. It's going to be tough this year, but you look into the future, Mr. Douglas. Make the right pick. And the San Francisco 49ers. Mister, he might be on the team if he don't die. Make the right pick. It's number 3. They said you're going to get Mac Jones. That's fine. We all know, Kyle, you got the pixie dust, right? You got the fairy dust. Whoever's your quarterback is going to be in the best position of all these people. But boy, 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 please don't pick for fit. Please don't pick because you think he could be okay. You get you a dude that can elevate. Get you a dude that can win. Get you a dude that if Emmanuel Sanders is wide open, I mean, nobody chasing him but the security guard, like a streaker that has run on the field, he can actually make that throw. And I saw your face, Kyle. I saw your face at the pro day at Alabama. Mac Jones missed the same throw, and the dude was just as open.
Okay, there you have it. Now, the full list again, in order, 49ers, Jets, Patriots, Jaguars, Eagles. Let's bring our guy. It's like I'm looking at LSU right here. What is this? Who booked
that? Absolutely, that's what you're looking at.
That's what we do. That's what
absolutely.
We do.
Okay.
That's what we do.
It's LSU time.
Take a picture of this, Ryan Smith. You're welcome.
Booker, I'll start with you. Anything, are you agreeing with this list or do you differ in any way?
No, I think the list encapsulates everything that we're trying to say about this draft. Those teams are under a great amount of pressure, especially the 49ers, man. Listen, my former teammate John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they got to get it right. Anytime you trade three number one picks to move up to a spot where there is no consensus on who you're going to take, you have a choice between three quarterbacks, you better get it right. I would just add to this list the Dallas Cowboys. And that's because once you sign Dak Prescott to a four-year deal, $160 million, the clock starts ticking. They hadn't won a Super Bowl in over 25 years. And when you put the amount of money that they put in the skill position players on offense with Dak Prescott, with Zeke Elliott, with Amari Cooper, all these guys making close to $20 million, Dak almost $40 million a year, and your defense is terrible, now you've brought in a new defensive coordinator with the guy that you got off the couch last year that you had to send back to the couch. Now, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm wondering, just when? When are we going to get this done? Because the clock is ticking, and there's a lot of pressure on everything there in Dallas. But all in all, there's no question. The San Francisco 49ers are on the clock, and they have to get the pick right at the quarterback position.
Okay, so Booger, you agree with RC's five. Swagoo, tell me that LSU guys don't agree on everything. Do you take issue with anything on his list?
We do. We do.
No, I don't take issue. I take issue with Booger having to bring up the damn Dallas Cowboys. Ain't nobody asked you about the
they
Cowboys.
They terrible.
He asked you about the list.
They terrible.
He asked you about the list that RC just put up. Okay? No, they did not. He was like, I would add the Dallas Cowboys to that list. Because you and Booger sit over there with y'all Super Bowl rings. And don't nobody be talking about the franchises y'all played for not winning Super Bowls or playoff game. I'm sick of both of y'all. That's why in the private text messages, I keep my responses limited. Because both of y'all little stanky Super Bowl winners always got something to say about my Dallas Cowboys. But let me bring it home. All right? I like the list. I like the list, but the San Francisco one is the one, y'all. We've had so many conversations. Yes. America's so tired of us talking about what they gonna do or what they should do with this number three pick. But I'll tell you this, for all of this talk that I've heard, all of the pundits, Kyle Shanahan, he can make anything work. Well, damn it, he better make this one work, because this is defining. This will define Kyle Shanahan. I don't care about Matt Ryan going to Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo, how good of plays he called, none of that. This pick will define Kyle Shanahan, because his name will be associated with however and whoever this quarterback is that they take for the San Francisco 49ers.
Absolutely. Great point right there. The only team I would add to that list is the Bears. I got to think their management is in a tough spot if they don't win this draft for that town. So we'll see what happens.
I want to add the Cowboys in there. I tell you who else.
Listen, that goes without saying. Your Cowboys, the Cowboys have been terrible, man. Hey, stop
all
being
right,
so sensitive about the Cowboys.
See how excited they are, everybody, for the draft. The NFL draft, only 2 days away. We're going to have every pick. Actually, it's tomorrow. We're going to have every pick. Once again, live on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins tomorrow, 8 Eastern, with all 3 days also live on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Hey, everybody, stop the presses. Marcus Spears knows what team Mac Jones is going to go to tomorrow, and I guarantee the answer will surprise you.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Here's this week's NBA doubleheader on ESPN. AD and the Lakers facing off against Russell Westbrook and the Wizards at 7:30 Eastern. Then two of the top teams in the West square off. Paul George and the Clippers take on CP3 and the Suns. Our coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7. And speaking of Stephen A, he knows what his friend Jerry Jones should do with the number 10 pick in tomorrow's draft. He's going to tell us what that is. First Take follows Get Up at the top of the hour. So let's bring our guys back in, and we'll talk some Friday morning headlines. Let's get them from you guys. RC, I'll start with you. What's your Friday morning headline?
You know what? I'm just tired of the Atlanta Falcons, so they're going to do something. The Atlanta Falcons are going to realize they don't have a very good team, and they're going to trade back, and they're going to stockpile picks. Because you know what? The San Francisco 49ers are going to make a pick at three that's going to make one of these teams want to jump up and get a quarterback, and the Atlanta Falcons are not drafting one.
Okay, Booger McFarland. Again, these are Friday morning headlines, the ones that come in after the first day of the draft.
I think Micah Parsons is going to go in the top 10. I'm tired of talking about all these offensive guys. That's all you TV people want to talk about. Offense, quarterbacks, wide receivers, how many points can we score? Nobody's talking about defense. The best defensive player in this draft is a guy that's 6'3 and 240 and runs 4'3, and he will go in the top 10. Micah Parsons, mark it down, and we're going to come on here, and I'm not going to mention the word quarterback, wide receiver, running back, or offense on this show.
Swag, what do you got?
Yeah, don't nobody care because defense don't sell tickets, but we do win championships. Listen, Mac Jones falls to 15 and goes to the New England Patriots in this scenario would be perfect for Mac to go operate this two tight end system, 12 personnel. Ryan, stay the hell out of my segment. I'll let you do yours, okay? Listen, we looking at number three for Mac Jones. Beyond that, I've heard no one talk about any team between them and the New England Patriots that's looking for Mac Jones has him rated highly. So Mac Jones doesn't go three to San Francisco, and he ends up at 15 to the New England Patriots.
RC, Marcus Alexander Spears. Marcus Alexander Spears.
Wow, called him by his government name. Wow.
You need to, and that's not really his middle name. You need to stop it. So you mean to tell me Mac Jones is going to fall from 3 to 15? This is not bold prediction, Marcus. This is something that can be a headline on Friday. They're not going to let us on TV no more. That's it. This is going to be our last LSU segment together because you ruined it.
RC, Ryan Clark, okay? You know, and Boog know, and Ryan know, I ain't never had Mac Jones at three. Oh, y'all could talk about it. I know what everybody else been saying. I ain't ever had him going to San Francisco. When this draft started,
so finally,
and all of the damn mocks first came out, I had him going to the New England Patriots. Thought it would be a great situation for him at 15, which I thought would be a valuable pick for Mac Jones to end up in that system. Y'all could keep talking about him to San Francisco, and it may happen, and I'm going to have to react to that.
To
but
15.
Right now, I think 15 are the New England Patriots.
Marcus Rayshon
Spears. So finally, the day before the draft, Swaggo finally lets everyone know that he doesn't like Mac Jones. It took us 3 months to get to him not liking Mac Jones.
Going 15th in the draft means I like you.
All right, guys, that's it for us.
First Take
starts right now.
I can't stand y'all, bro.